Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I think, Paul, looking into the future, people love these stories. Esplanade, we talked to Lucas Pyatt, the man behind this extraordinary expansion along the river, just around the corner from Rivers Casino on the Ohio. And a few weeks ago, he had submitted his plan for the $600 million project, and he got the green light.
After 7 years of waiting, almost eight, really. There were the delays that you always run into as a developer, and then there was a big one called the pandemic.
Yeah.
But this first phase that would be getting started pretty soon has the Ferris wheel in it, a marina, and then improvements along the riverfront trail. That would be probably the first phase, which would be done in 2027 or 28. And then down the road, they're looking at apartments, 300 of them, restaurants and shopping. They're thinking that when they're all done getting this thing put together, they'll have 9,000 jobs will be created by the project.
9,000? Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, 15 acres, post-industrial sites. You know, these were places, I remember the mayor of Pittsburgh at the time, Tom Murphy, used to say he was told as a kid, you know, be home by when the streetlights come on and don't go down near the river.
Right, right.
And over the years,
if anyone who has not lived in Pittsburgh long, like me, I've only been here less than 20 years now, but anyone who has been here knows, can testify about the transformation of the riverfront down at the point and on both sides of the point, and then, of course, over on the North Shore. It's beautiful.
And Lucas Pyatt has been a visionary in changing what was near the point in downtown Pittsburgh. It was the old state building. That was one of his first projects, turned that into condominium living. And let's be honest, this whole move for people to live in downtown Pittsburgh is moving forward, not just with Esplanade, which, by the way, means promenade over water, as I have discovered.
Esplanade is a very famous street in New Orleans, by the way.
Is it?
Yep.
One of the cool things.
But they call it Esplanade.
Don Esplanade. That sounds like we would say it.
New Orleans has a different pronunciation for everything.
So do we.
Isn't that interesting?
As a matter of fact. Yeah, so this is going to be pretty spectacular, and it will definitely revitalize that part of the North Shore and North Side, which already has gone through this amazing transition. I'll just give you one image. And last Friday, by the way, I emceed what was the Academy Awards of the architecture community around here with the builders. Is I've always appreciated the visionaries that see what's not there and make it happen. And in this case, this will be a game changer. But most importantly, 9,000 jobs. That's significant. So the green light is on, and I may live in a houseboat instead of the van down by the river.
You know, that's in the plan.
I know.
Houseboats. Places to moor houseboats.
105-plus condominium units, 300 apartments, 20% affordable units, 1,600 feet of river frontage, 225 key hotel with ballroom and meeting space, life science, R&D building, an aquarium, incubator, kiosks for local small business, and a permanent and transient marina. And again, houseboats. So, Paul, you and I, post-working here, instead of living in a van down by the river, we could actually get a boat.
I have stayed in a houseboat a couple of times along the way.
I did in Oakmont years ago.
It's an interesting life.
So that said, speaking of water on the river, we've had a lack of it. This is the driest summer since 2002, and rare brush fire activity around the region in November, which is almost unheard of. Growing up, you never heard of brush fires in November,
so
ever.
The floor of the forest areas and what lies on that floor must be terribly dry after two very, very mild winters as well.
Good point.
So they'll dry out faster is what I think they're trying to say.
And people are talking about this Steelers game. Speaking of the North Shore, I remember when Three River Stadium was there, Paul. It was basically a cement donut on an asphalt acreage of, you know,
right.
It was like a tundra
yeah.
of asphalt. And that's all there was there, except the 222 bar on Federal Street, which was infamous. Meanwhile, look at what's developed there now on the North Shore. It's a completely different place. And now with this addition of Esplanade on the other side of the Rivers Casino, it's a game changer. But one of the big attractions, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose impressions around the world continue as they have relationships with Ireland, Mexico, Germany, and hotel rooms are at a premium this weekend. You got Pitt and Clemson Saturday at noon, and then you've got the Steelers and Ravens at 1:00. Here's what Coach Tomlin told the media horde in his weekly press conference yesterday.
It's really cool to be in these games, not because it's them, but because they're a good team. This time of year, you want to be leaning in on five-star matchups and being a component of it. You're in five-star matchups not only because of the quality of people that you're playing, but also what you've done. We respect that component of it, and we're excited about that component of it, and we just want to continue to sharpen our sword for these battles.
Did you hear what he said about Deontay Johnson, by the way?
No.
He was questioned about Deontay and his possible role with the Ravens' offense against the Steelers.
Hang on.
What will it be like for you to face Deontay, and what challenge does he present for you guys?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
So, well, that's all true. It's also a swipe, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, like
more
who?
Significant pieces.
I haven't seen them on tape.
The laugh at the beginning is the giveaway, I think.
There you go. Well, Steelers, Ravens. Doesn't get any bigger than that.
It's I think the headlines I read was a five-star matchup. Yeah, that's about right.
Five-star matchup. I got to go with that. Keep in mind, Lamar Jackson is 2-7 against the Steelers. Somehow, they got his number. EACY, take us with you wherever you go. It's a great resource for news, weather, information. We have some tremendous guests, so you can take us wherever you go. Sexiest man alive has been announced. And People Magazine, they allowed Stephen Colbert to do it on The Late Show. I guess this is the third time they've done it.
Thanksgiving's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give me a little taste of what that might be like?
Oh, yeah? People sexiest? So you think you're better than me? Is that what it is? Nope, didn't say that. Okay, I understand. We are very clear.
John Krasinski, who originally was on The Office, right? And then he started directing movies, those quiet movies, the monster movies. He has been selected as the sexiest man alive. And he said when he got the call, he thought he was being punked. And some of the others on the list, I was looking at the nominees. But I guess it's a big deal. Aaron?
Yes.
Just curious. Do you know who this guy is?
John Krasinski?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Watch The Office. That's typically what we watch when we're eating dinner. That's like Vinny's favorite nothing show. Everyone has one. And he's just very well-rounded. When he started to shift over into like more serious roles, like A Quiet Place, being in that and then also directing it. And then
Jack Ryan.
Yes, Jack Ryan. I think he was in a movie called 13 Hours, which is a serious movie about, you know, those secret missions that happen, you know, to protect our nation. It's very serious, and he did phenomenal in that, too. So I think it's well-deserved on his end.
Some of the previous winners include Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, and John Legend. But he didn't think that he would be the guy chosen. Here are some of the nominees that John beat out. Tim McGraw. Well, they have a list. Sexiest long married star. Mark Consuelo, sexiest talk show host. He's with his wife, Kelly Ripa, now, right?
Right.
Harry Styles, sexiest musician. Robert Patterson, sexiest first-time dad. And here's a stretch. This is a new category, I think. The Kelce Brothers, sexiest podcast hosts.
Podcasts are on the rise.
There you go. So, John Krasinski is, according to People Magazine, the sexiest man alive outside of Marty. I'm Larry Richard with anchor man Paul Rasmussen, and in our next hour, our weekly visit with the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, will join us, talk about a lot that's going on around the region and 10 counties that also includes the city of Pittsburgh. And today in Washington, at the White House, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall? Here's CBS's Jared Hill.
This morning, President-elect Donald Trump back at the White House, meeting with President Joe Biden, who once called him an existential threat to democracy.
He believes in the norms. He believes in our institution. He believes in a peaceful transfer of power.
The visit comes as Trump has been quickly building his new administration. Yesterday, the president-elect said billionaire Elon Musk and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy will co-chair a newly created Department of Government Efficiency, designed to dismantle government bureaucracy and slash excess waste, calling it the Manhattan Project of our time.
Your money is being wasted, and the Department of Government Efficiency is going to fix that.
Trump also nominated former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, a strong defender of Israel who's against a two-state solution with Palestinians, as U.S. ambassador to Israel. Former Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe, once Trump's director of national intelligence, picked as CIA director. And Army veteran and Fox News host Pete Hegseth, named Secretary of Defense, a pick that drew this reaction from the top Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee.
He does not seem to have much of a detailed background in DOD policy. The lack of experience is concerning.
The new Republican-led Senate will have to confirm Hegseth and other Trump cabinet-level picks in the coming weeks.
Incoming First Lady Melania Trump is not expected to join her husband on this trip to the White House, although First Lady Jill Biden did extend an invitation to her directly.
CBS's Jared Hill.
And let's see here on Hegseth, the Fox News host.
That may be one that surprised me.
He's an outsider.
His resume's from a military standpoint, pretty impressive.
Yeah, here it is. Army National Guard veteran, served in Iraq and Afghanistan. We're talking about combat. Two Bronze Stars, graduated from Princeton, and has a Master of Public Policy degree from Harvard. But he's not an insider at the Pentagon, and that people don't like that at the Pentagon, and maybe that's what Donald Trump wants.
Of course.
You know?
They, you know, what they called it, they want to make the change and shake everything up. And
so it's, you know, it's on. These are interesting days, these selections that are being made, and I'm very interested to hear how the get-together with Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump goes today.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There's a lot of bad blood, I would imagine. They got to set a lot aside there, right?
Yeah, 4 years ago, the opposite invitation did not take place, as you heard. So
exactly.
That's why I said, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in that conversation?
Yeah, exactly. I would love to be there.
Meanwhile, this process is going on, and it'll be not until Inauguration Day, January 20th, when all of the transition will officially take place. Just prior to that, ironically, it'll be Vice President Kamala Harris who will sit with all our elected officials gathered to certify the election at one point.
And like Mike Pence did.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we don't anticipate any issues like there were 4 years ago.
Boy, I hope we never see another day like that in our lifetime.
That was hard to watch.
Yes, it was. The announcement about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy heading up this Department of Government Efficiency also is fascinating.
Well, the story of Elon Musk in and of itself. So he's this scientific genius, he's been called, for what he's done with Tesla and the space program that he's part of in these things. But you never really heard much from Elon Musk.
Until lately.
Then he bought Twitter, which was highly publicized, $44 billion. And people in that world said he's crazy spending that kind of money. But he literally bought his own voice on social media. And he has become the face of it after he turned it to X. And he's posted himself just like you would if you were just doing your own little social media posts about things that you do. Suddenly, he's put himself in a situation where he gave Donald Trump $50 million for his campaign. And the payback was stock market went up. He quadrupled that investment.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that angle. So this government efficiency agency is actually not part of the government. It's an advisory panel, basically.
And therefore, he doesn't need any approvals.
No, there's no hearings. There's no Senate hearings to pass or confirmation, nothing like that. And of course, both of them are wealthy, so they would have to, I don't know what the financial considerations are when you have a government job like that, but I assume certain arrangements have to be made.
I don't think they care about the money part.
But this idea of cutting wasteful expenditures, well, now, some of them are obvious. Like, I think I saw one this morning on Twitter that said, or on X that said, like, spending millions on the effect of yoga on goats. Well, that's an easy one.
Really? You don't think we should be spending money on that?
but when they make a suggestion about eliminating an entire department, like the Department of Education is an example of the discussion that's been going on. In fact, Donald Trump, when in his first presidency, wanted to do that. So this is coming to a head after January when things are going to get going.
Did you ever wonder, and we've revealed results of studies, and you're like, well, who's studying this? That would be one of them. What was that again?
Right.
Name that. What study was this?
The effect of yoga on goats.
We'll do our own study here. Come on. This is the Big K Morning Show. Coming up in our next hour, Rich Fitzgerald in studio. Lots to talk about what's going on around the 10-county region, including city of Pittsburgh. He'll be with us. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Hall to Pit. The food drive's going to take place. All of our Pittsburgh Odyssey stations are going to participate, all five, which includes, of course, us here at KDKA. We've got 93.7 The Fan, Y108, 100.7 Star, and WAMO, WAMO. And we're going to get together for 3 days at the Market District at Settlers Ridge from 2 to 8, and we're going to ask that people bring supplies for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and fill the truck. We want to thank PGT Trucking, Pitt Athletics, Giant Eagle, and benefiting again your neighbors when they need it most around the holidays. PGT Trucking, do you know Pat Gallagher is the founder and president, CEO, and he's a self-made man. You know, he has over 1,000 18-wheel flatbed trucks. 1,000.
The size of the trucking industry in this country is hard to imagine because it's so spread out, and there's so many big companies just like the one you're talking about.
Especially in this region. We're a transportation energy resource. In fact, we'll be talking to Rich Fitzgerald about some other things, and we've become this technology center with the robotics and all the stuff that's going on at CMU and Pitt in particular, and now this artificial intelligence community that's seemed to take a liking to us. And later on this morning, we're going to talk to the man from Walnut Capital. They've been visionaries. He's the president, Todd Reedbord, about Bakery Square. And you and I have talked about this before, Paul. Just the old Nabisco plant, right? And it sat idle, and somebody had the vision to turn it into what it is today, and they're expanding. And we'll talk to him about that. And also, post-election economics, something like real estate, housing market locally. We have an expert on to talk about that as well, coming up on the Big K Morning Show. And then tomorrow, I'm really excited. I've invited Byron Cope's daughter, Elizabeth, and Dan Joseph. They wrote a book that just came out a few weeks ago called Beyond the Yoy. And as you know, we still celebrate the terrible towel. You see the terrible towels in every stadium where Steeler fans were present, like Washington. Those people were so aggravated because of the terrible towels. They had a full-on effort with this burgundy towel.
Which, and they were supposed to, and it just blended into the background. You couldn't even see the burgundy towels.
No. And it's actually kind of fun. But it all started with Myron Cope. And they do an homage to Myron at the Steelers games at home, too, right before kickoff, where we send it down to whatever visiting celebrity and, you know, wave that terrible towel so you get everybody just before kickoff spinning those towels. Some stories from Elizabeth Cope tomorrow.
Do we know who this week's celebrity is?
No. Don't know yet.
When do you find out?
Sometimes game day. Maybe a couple days ahead. They let me know. And, you know, that's who we announce. Few games ago, it was Snoop Dogg. It's just
perfect.
Then we got Billy Gardell has done
another
it.
Another one that's perfect, yeah.
Joey Porter Jr.'s dad, which was kind of cool. So they either get a Steeler alum or some other celebrity that's a big fan. So we've had, we have an Aquaman once. That guy. This is the Big K Morning Show. I look forward to Wednesdays at this time.
What's his name?
Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission in studio. Rich, good morning.
That's a big deal. Good morning, Larry. Always a lot of good things going on around the region.
8:30 tomorrow.
That'll be fun. Is winter
tapes.
Coming? Is that so what that low 30s means?
Not
I don't know.
Heard eventually, from Myron since
we had the driest summer
decades
since 2002.
Ago. Looking forward
When's
to that.
When's the last time you heard about
from the B.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Pittsburgh. Center?
Never.
Right.
Exactly. Or a drought. Exactly. Or drought conditions, yes.
But that said, we were just talking as you arrived about the big weekend in Pittsburgh and the fact that you've got the backyard brawl in basketball Friday night. Thanks, Jody, for bringing that up. And then you have Pitt-Clemson at noon Saturday at Acrisure. Then Steelers-Ravens, regular season games. That's about as big as it gets. It's a crush on the region in a good way.
In a very good way. It's a crush on the region. And our hotel operators and our restaurateurs are going to be doing very, very well. Yes, it's not playoff season per se, but it almost feels like that with these two games. You know, Clemson and Pitt in the ACC battling it out for the top positions there. And then, of course, you know, the Steelers and the Ravens go back. And when they finally get together, this is later in the season than we've normally seen them, but hotel rooms. And I will tell you, the airport folks will tell you, Christina and her team, when the Steelers are in town, people fly in from all over the country. The airport fills up, and that means a lot of money's being spent in this region.
Yeah, when you go to the game, they hand out these placards for people who want them to say, this is my first game, or I'm from. And you see people from all over, not the country, all over. I'm from Mexico. I've seen people from Australia. The image and resource that logo brings here is actually extraordinary.
It really is. The reach. And, you know, the symbol, and I heard you mention it, the towel, which really has become this iconic symbol, particularly when the Steelers are on the road. And the announcers are always, they don't get confused anymore, but I think the first time they started to see this, why are they cheering for the Steelers scoring a touchdown in Atlanta or Denver or wherever
it
might
be? It's so aggravating, I'm sure, for the home team, like in Washington. I was watching, like millions of other people, And if you closed your eyes, you couldn't tell by the crowd whether it was a home game or away.
That's exactly right. And Washington is one of those cities where it is so close, and so many Pittsburghers, ex-Pittsburghers, work there, whether on Capitol Hill or in some of the other governmental entities. A lot of young people, that's often their first place they want to go when they get out of school, to go to Washington. But they still carry that Pittsburgh black and gold.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In their blood.
That said, right around the stadium, around the corner from Rivers Casino, one of our top stories is the project Esplanade by the Pyatt family. Lucas Pyatt got the green light, $600 million investment, bringing more jobs to the future.
They've been working on this for a number of years. When I was county executive, I met with Jack Pyatt and Lucas and the whole team there. I think it got put on pause a little bit during COVID, like a lot of things did, particularly when it came to development. But when you think about the beauty, you know, past the Cardello building, we all kind of driven past it coming down 65. There's a real opportunity there along that riverfront to do some real development all the way out to the old prison, the old state penitentiary. So I think there's some real opportunities there. The light rail can also probably be extended another stop. It stops now at the casino, the right. Allegheny stop. And then there's talk of like continued investment there. The infrastructure investment is still there. The change in administration is not going to impact that. It's still going to move forward. So there could be some opportunities there that'll really make some major changes to this region.
And I was thinking about that old prison along the river. What is the status of that? Is it a historic preservation issue, or is there something that eventually will be done there?
I think it's more of a cost issue, the cost of remediating and taking that structure down and making that pad ready for development, I think, is expensive. That's over 100-year-old structure. It obviously has a lot of history. But the location is so perfect. And again, I think a lot of things because of COVID slowed down. We did see office vacancy rates that were impacted significantly. Even residential plans in places like the Golden Triangle were impacted. Other places, not so much. You talked about the North Shore, and we're talking about the hotels. But the development that it continues along those lines has been very positive, obviously anchored by our sports teams. But other developments that have happened over there, the light rail, which extends over there, has been pretty positive. So it's a matter of, you know, smart investment and some of the things we need to do.
All right, we got a lot going on, and you've bringing some talent to the show this morning.
We're bringing a couple talented people. But, you know, we talked about this back in September, the robotics exposition that occurs. It's the third one that they're having. It's next Wednesday. This is really something. It's called Robotics Discovery Day. It's free, so we want to make sure everyone knows you can go. There's 125 robotics organizations that will be displaying at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. It's all day next Wednesday, the 20th. Last year, they had over 4,000 people attending. And you want to see some futuristic things, take your kids down there and see some of this. It's really impressive. And they will be giving out, they'll be looking for over 200 jobs. There will be 200 jobs that will be available as well for people that might want to get into that industry.
And we're going to meet the CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies in that world. And
yes,
also, later on, we're going to talk to from the executive director of the Pittsburgh Robotics next, right?
Jen, yep, exactly.
All right, coming up on the Big K Morning Show, Rich Fitzgerald in the house. Do you know I'm colorblind?
Don't park there anyway. It's right. They'll still give you the ticket.
I know, they got little cameras and they just ding you that way. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald in just a minute. We're going to introduce you to the executive director of Pittsburgh Robotics, and you just mentioned this get-together again here in Pittsburgh. We're the focal point of this technology.
We really are. We're Robotics City, and Jen Epicella, who's the director of the Pittsburgh Robotics Network, and which she'll tell us, I think last time was over 100, maybe 120 firms that are robotics firms here located in the Pittsburgh region. They put on this big exposition. This is the third one they've had in November of every year, Robotics Discovery Day. And all I can say is you need to see it. It's an amazing, amazing thing where robotics are touching every different industry you can imagine, from healthcare to manufacturing to construction. And Jen will be telling us a lot about what you can see here and job opportunities at the convention center.
We have the technology where we can see Jen, and she's joined us by our vMix. You can see her. If you go on to kdkradio.com, we can live stream. Jen, welcome back. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here.
Good to see you this morning. You know, Rich gets all fired up for this stuff.
Jen, you know how I've been looking forward to this for a whole year since I went to it last year. And you really have introduced so many innovative things. And then these companies, I know we probably think they're all from Lawrenceville or the Strip District, but I remember seeing, you know, last year these companies from Uniontown and Indiana County and IUP and all these different organizations. Tell us about what we can expect next week at the Robotics Discovery Day.
Absolutely. So Wednesday, November 20th, it is going to be really something special. So if you're curious about robots, if you like robots, if you're not sure if you like robots, you can have all those questions answered for you by just showing up at the convention center. We're gonna have over 130 organizations that are gonna be exhibiting, and that's gonna include robotics companies who are gonna have live demos. You can see all kinds of robots. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to see, you know, robots that are going to maybe help the Steelers this year or, you know, maybe, but maybe some pothole filling robots. I don't know. That could be in the future of Pittsburgh as well. But yeah, you're going to see that, Rich, you talked about it. All industries, right? Manufacturing robots, agriculture robots, robots that move things in warehouses, and then even humanoid robots. We've got a humanoid robot here in town. So, and then autonomous vehicles, right? Aurora has a giant autonomous truck. So yeah, you'll be able to see it, touch it, learn about it, experience it. And then there's a career center, a community center, so you can get involved in robotics in some way. So you don't have to work for one of these companies in order to be a part of this sort of robot revolution that's happening here in town. We've got all sorts of training programs and job access. There's a career center. So if you just want to, you know, figure out how to update your resume and jump in and become a part of it, that's an opportunity.
I saw a robot that underneath a pool table that comes up and puts the pool balls ready, you know, clears the table, resets everything. I mean, there'll be robots for everything. But the bigger picture for our region, and I know Rich has been such a champion of this over the years, is to have us become, you know, the destination place for people in this industry. And it certainly feels like that hearing you both talk.
Oh, yeah, we already are. I mean, I travel around the world and the world is watching us. Pittsburgh is on the map for robotics, AI, all this tough tech, hard tech, you know, the inventions that are being created here in Pittsburgh are having a global impact. And so, yeah, November 20th, come and take a peek at what's happening in our own backyard and how you can be a part of it. It's very exciting.
And what you see is, and you know, talk about all these jobs, people probably think, oh, if I don't have a degree in, you know, software engineering, I can't get that job. No, every industry, as Jen said, people that work in a warehouse learn how to deal and work with the robots to make their job easier.
people that work in construction, if you've ever seen them lay down cement with rebar and the robotics machines that now help tie off that rebar together. There's so many different things that are that all levels of education and skill set and job training that can be there. And the one thing, Jen, that excites me, it's all day next Wednesday. Tell everybody how much it costs for somebody to get in.
It is $0, completely free. We want to make sure that everyone has access to, you know, experiencing what it is that is the future. It's happening now, right? But it's going to continue to happen in the future. These are the modern power tools of business, okay? These are not robots taking our jobs. These are robots creating jobs. And these are great technologies that people, humans, get to use on the job to make their job easier, safer, you know, faster, better.
Yeah.
So yeah, come on down. It's completely free. You can walk on in and check it out.
I think that's a great point, is people hear that robots, they're going to take my jobs, but they're creating jobs, especially here, which is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it is an exciting day, Jen. And you know, for people to really see things that they can't even imagine and what it is doing. We've seen dancing robots and, you know, robots that do all kind of different. It's just an amazing some of the things, you know, doing surgery, doing, you know, again, some of the things you talked about.
Yeah. The future is automated, and the level of automation that can occur, right? You get to see that, the demonstrations that are going to be there. They're going to be companies that are, you know, 2 weeks old, so very early stage startups. And then we'll have companies that have been doing this for 20 years right here in Pittsburgh this whole time. And so you really get to see that depth and that breadth of what's been happening here and how it's just going to keep growing.
All right. That's next week, November 20th. When to when?
Wednesday, November 20th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can come in anytime. If you want to come from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., there will be a very special sort of robotics happy hour where you can come in and grab a beer and walk around and check out the robots and talk to a bunch of other people who are also wanting to check it out.
Jen, thank you. Exciting. Appreciate your time this morning.
Jen, we're very excited. Yeah. We'll see you next week and have everything ready for all of us. Congratulations.
Sounds good. Can't wait to see you there.
Thanks.
Jen Epicella, who is the executive director of the Pittsburgh Robotics. This is
the future.
It is.
We're living in the future. And, you know, you think about how Pittsburgh, going back over a century, has always been at the forefront of innovation. Innovation in the steel industry, in the aluminum industry a century or more ago. And here we are again.
Westinghouse. Electric. Which spun off electric radio.
Oh.
I mean, we were the first commercial radio station on the planet.
Absolutely, right.
104 years ago.
Yeah, the polio vaccine and the Ferris wheel and the Big Mac, and we could go on and on.
Lots of firsts. It is the Big K Morning Show. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, with us every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. Just a moment, we're going to check in with the CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies.
Yes. When I first heard Pearl Street, I thought that's a significant street in Bloomfield. So I thought maybe they were Bloomfield-based, but it's really based on the history of electricity back to Thomas Edison. The Pearl Street Station in New York was the big generating station that kind of started electrification in Manhattan.
Did you ever see the movie Current Wars? It was about Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse.
I've seen, not that movie, but I have seen some of the documentaries. You talk about two people that didn't like each other. Oh, my goodness.
Yet their competition kept moving technology forward. And then in the middle of both was Tesla.
Yes.
And he was this visionary. And it's funny, at one point in the movie, you see the wires that finally go up. They were trying to decide which grid power source to use, AC or DC, and they're lighting up America. We can't imagine a city without lights.
No.
Just for starters. And these two men made it happen. And then Tesla said, what if we don't need wires? And they all thought he was nuts. And of course, here we are with Wi-Fi and technology, and so much is floating through the air. If you get a chance, it, especially being a Pittsburgh guy, current wars, it's very well done, and it's all about Westinghouse and Thomas Edison.
And we talk about political battles now between, we just went through one with an election, the political battle between the two of them and the charges and countercharges, your electricity, don't use his electricity, AC will kill you, or don't use DC, oh, your family will be in danger. I mean, it was a real info war, if you will, a propaganda war over which type of electricity was going to be better.
Yeah, it did get ugly. In the meantime, while we're waiting to check in, let's talk about a couple other things you'd sent me. This Jimmy Stewart, I'm fascinated, Rich, because Jimmy Stewart to me was a true American hero, and it had nothing to do with him being an actor.
Absolutely. He became a great actor, and of course, we're proud of him because he's a Western Pennsylvania, growing up in Indiana, PA, and the movie It's a Wonderful Life, which has become this Christmas time iconic movie. They do a celebration in Indiana, PA. I actually will be going to the parade next week. Just like we do Light Up Night in Pittsburgh, they do Light Up Night in Indiana, PA, and it's a Jimmy Stewart parade. And it is just, they celebrate his life, but they celebrate also the great area of Indiana.
And the reason I say he's a hero in terms of he started his Hollywood career, then he joined the Army Air Corps, which was the precursor to the Air Force. He became a pilot of a bomber and then eventually became the squadron leader. And he flew multiple combat missions, risked his own life. You know, the lifespan of those guys, in many cases, wasn't long. And it was rare that, you know, an individual would make it through a whole combat run. And he did it.
He did it.
Then he went back to acting. And, you know, he kept paying his agent the same percentage from his military pay that he did when he was an actor.
Is that right?
Of course, it was a lot lower. Also, yesterday, we talked to WPXI anchorman David Johnson. You know him very well after 40 years here. And keep in mind, he worked for five stations before PXI. He's going to retire on December 13th.
David's one of those long-lasting Pittsburgh treasures to last 40 years in an industry that is very, very difficult to last more than a few years. David and his wife, Nancy, Kathy and I have known the Johnsons for many years. Our kids went to school together. Typical Pittsburgh story, how we all kind of, you know, run into each other and know each other. But congratulations to him. And I know, you know, with his sons, and having some grandchildren, that he wanted to spend a little more time with them. And I think those of us of a certain age can certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, so we give a salute and wish him well. And coming up next, we'll track down David Bromberg, CEO, co-founder of Pearl Street Technology. And we are joined now by David Bromberg, CEO, co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies. And you can see David with our video mix live streamed on KDKRadio.com with Rich Fitzgerald. David, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, David. Let me just introduce David a little bit. David is a classic story that's happening in Pittsburgh these days. He moved here he grew up in Brooklyn. He came to Pittsburgh to go to Carnegie Mellon years ago. And while there and through his undergraduate and graduate degrees, developed this technology. And this might be one of the most important technologies we're going to see over the next decade or more. Because, Larry, we've talked a number of times about the electrification that we're going to need as a society to do AI, autonomous vehicles, all of our appliances that are turning electric. And is the grid going to be able to handle that? We could maybe generate the electricity, and we have the need of the electricity, but how do we distribute it? Will the distribution system handle what we need? David's company developed software to predict just that. I hope I didn't say that wrong, David, if you can kind of correct me on what your company has been doing.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty good summary. The only thing I would really add is just want to acknowledge that I didn't develop it by myself, certainly. Had a lot of collaborative work, both with my PhD advisor, who's a co-founder of Pearl Street as well, Larry Pileggi, and other students and researchers who worked along with us. It definitely takes a village.
And as you know, you came here and stayed here and actually came back here, as I understand. What is it about Pittsburgh that you fell in love with?
I mean, it's just such a great community, particularly in engineering and technology. I guess a large part of that is the universities here, but what we've been seeing more of, especially in our recruiting, is just how many very talented engineers come here for school and then want to stay here and even just move here. I mean, we've relocated people from New York and California who want to be in Pittsburgh and work on really cool companies, really cool products that make an impact on society. And this is just a great place to do it.
So tell us a little bit about the technology that you're talking about. We've seen, you know, the new type of generation around solar and wind, and obviously we've transitioned from a lot of coal to gas in generating electricity. And then so many of us have gone in our own homes, heat pumps and electric appliances, and now we're seeing electric vehicles that are becoming more prominent. And now obviously with AI and the things, robotics that we're talking about. What does your company do?
Well, we build software to help electric power grid operators, utilities, project development, engineering companies all plan for exactly those challenges facing the grid today, as well as in the future. So things like increased deployment of renewable energy, like solar and wind projects and large batteries, that's actually primarily our commercial focus today. But certainly the growth of power-hungry industries like AI data centers, more onshore manufacturing, electrification of heating and transportation, like you said, even extreme weather, all of these changes will have a very, very substantial and long-term impact on the grid. And our software helps grid operators and utilities plan for that.
And where do you do this work regionally, nationally? Where do you do a lot of the for companies and organizations throughout the U.S.?
Nationally. So to date, something like 300 gigawatts of renewable energy projects have been modeled out through our software across probably around 20 to 25 states. 300 gigawatts is a very big number. Just to put it in context, that's equivalent to about powering 225 million homes. So we're talking about a lot of power. Now, not all of those projects will be built. That's a part of the process. You're trying to study them to understand what impact would they have on the grid if they were built. But that's a very critical piece, that critical analysis that has to be done. And we help expedite that to get to those answers faster.
I get it. You developed the flux capacitor, like in Back to the Future.
Yeah, that reference comes up a lot. Yeah.
That's funny. Well,
a gigawatt. Oh, yeah. It's tough to wrap.
David, we appreciate you being on with us. So we'll love to have you back and continued success. Thank you.
Keep recruiting good engineers to Pittsburgh, David. We're glad to see that. And the more, the merrier.
Yeah, we just hired 5 this past month, so yeah, we'll do.
Outstanding.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Good to see you. Thanks, David.
David Bromberg, CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies on the Big K Morning Show. Let's go live to our newsroom and check in with Paul Rasmussen.
A huge development on the North Shore has the approval of the city's planning commission, and we'll have a preview coming up at 8 on The Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio KDKA.
And we want to thank Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Great to meet these young minds like Mr. Bromberg from Pearl Street Technologies who have chosen Pittsburgh to stay and grow their companies, Rich.
And they're transforming things. He talked about, you know, the energy all across America that they're going to be doing. So much of the work that we are going to be doing to make the world a better place is going to happen right here in Pittsburgh. And obviously, we have a new administration coming in and how we all work in collaboration with that. And I don't know if you saw the story, but 3 of our congressional delegation, Thompson, Kelly, and Reschenthal, are in leadership and are going to have a lot of influence and be able to do things here beneficially for us in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Rich, always enjoy this hour. It flies by. And congratulations to you. You will be honored by the Variety Club. They do amazing work for children and the adaptive bike program that they do, and you're man of the year tonight.
I'm so honored. My friend Tom Baker and before him Charlie DeValle have worked with that organization, people like Governor Corbett and many of us. When you watch those young people and those families get transformed when they get those bikes that you just think, oh, it's a bike. No, it changes their world, and the emotion and the tears that come for parents and grandparents when they see their young one get this adaptive bike, it moves you. It changes you.
Charlie DeValle just recently retired.
Charlie retired after many years of great, great service to this community.
Great guy.
And Charlie, and again.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Tom Baker, who I served with in county government.
Look at you. You got a mantle of Man of the Year awards, including our hometown hero.
And I'll be with the better half of the Griffin household tonight, as Christine will be the MC of the event. So I don't have to hang out with Marty. I get to hang out with Christine.
Well, enjoy. So, thanks, Rich.
Thanks.
This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and we welcome via video. You can see him on the radio at kdkradio.com and our live stream. Todd Reedbord is the president of Walnut Capital, the developer of Bakery Square and other places. I always appreciate the visionaries of our hometown because of what you do. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to be here.
Do you remember when the Nabisco plant shut down? I mean, that was a big deal. There were like 400 jobs then lost. But was that the late 90s or sometime in the 90s?
I know we came on the scene around 2006, 2007. So it had closed a number of years before that. I know the RIDC had taken over. They tried to put another bakery in. What I remember, though, is my dad, who passed away last year, was almost 93, remembering him as a kid, the smells of the cracker. He grew up in East Liberty. So I always remember him talking about how great it was to have the Nabisco plant there.
Well, you got your dog weighing in, too.
Right in the middle of all this.
It's all good.
Sorry about it.
What kind of dog do you have?
These are two big Labradors, a chocolate and a yellow.
Beautiful. What are their names, Todd?
We've got Magic and Thunder here.
All right. Who's making the noise? Thunder. No, it's all good.
I think so. They're headed out now. They're good.
It's all good. So I meant what I said about the visionaries of this town. You're one of them who took that plant that sat and imagined what it could be. And for the record, so there were 400 jobs lost at one point. Now there are over 4,000 generated by your work there. And you're not done yet.
No, we have... Exactly. The job growth there has been incredible. It's also not just the jobs right at Bakery Square, but all the multiplier effect of that, all the people that service the business every day, the people that provide the food to the folks at Google, the restaurants that are there, all the different people that touch Bakery Square every day. It's something we could have never imagined. And we're not done. We're only halfway there. We say we're getting through our final approvals to do our expansion, and we're looking forward to that further expansion to connect East Liberty to Bakery Square.
It seems to me, Todd, post-pandemic, things are starting to look up economically in terms of where we were then and where we are now and where you want to take us.
Yeah, I think somebody once said a few years ago, said survive the 25, which was a phrase that was coined. And I think that's coming true. I think we have a lot of good things coming next year. I think the economy is settling down a little bit. We've gotten through the election, not the way we wanted it to happen necessarily, but at least we're settled in. And I think that gives a lot of certainty to what's going on in the economics of this country. And I think that makes a huge difference going forward.
And you have to be encouraged by Esplanade with the Pyatt family getting green lit. That's a big project on the river. And that means maybe there's a vision by the administration locally to move forward on a lot of these projects that will bring more prosperity.
Yeah, I mean, our biggest challenge in Pittsburgh, in my opinion, is that we have to bring more people here. We have to grow our population. As we all know, being native Pittsburghers, we had over 700,000 people here in the 50s and 60s, and we're down to around 300,000 and maybe a little less. So our biggest challenge is to bring more people here. And what do? You have to show growth. You have to bring jobs here. You have to bring entertainment. You have to do everything. And I'm really a huge believer of a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's how Pittsburgh is going to succeed in the future. We have to do everything for everybody and attract new people to Pittsburgh.
And are you seeing some movement? Talking to Rich Fitzgerald, obviously, who ran the county for 12 years and now is head of this non-partisan group of 10 counties in the city. And that's part of their mission, is to try to attract people here with infrastructure and development.
Exactly. And I'll throw a plug out to Governor Shapiro, too, because I think this administration particularly knows that. He loves Western Pennsylvania. He has kids that go to Pitt. So he's here all the time. And I think he's committed to growth of Pennsylvania. Our neighbors have done a great job. Ohio, New York, New Jersey, some of our neighboring states have done a good job. But in the past, Pennsylvania has been a little bit behind that. But I'm very excited about Governor Shapiro, and he's released capital grants. He's really, he says let's get things done, and I really believe that. That really, the state really drives a lot of that, and we're happy to be part of that as well.
So what will we see next at Bakery Square?
Well, we're excited that we're getting ready to get our final approvals to build a new mixed-use building right on the corner across from Target, really to complete that intersection where the new Giant Eagle is going up. And I think that that's going to be sort of the gateway to Bakery Square. So you'll see it maybe a 12-story a building with apartments, mixed-use retail and office, and connecting all that. I think what's great about Pittsburgh is our neighborhoods, and the ability to connect our neighborhoods together is something that we have, that secret sauce of why people want to be in Pittsburgh.
Well, I highly recommend, if you haven't been, check out Bakery Square. And you have other projects going on too, right, Todd?
Yeah, one thing that we're very proud about, and I know we have it was written about it in the Business Times recently, is where we bought the old hospitals from UPMC on the south side. And we're really excited about that. Again, I think this is something where you can kind of weave into the old neighborhoods of Pittsburgh new development that attracts new people of all different from all over the world, from all over the country, of different income levels. And again, I think our neighborhoods is our greatest asset in Pittsburgh. And if we can create opportunities in our existing neighborhoods, the ones that are well established, and create even more economic activity in those neighborhoods, that's really what brings people to Pittsburgh.
Well, the South Side could use a shot in the arm, too. And that sounds like a great place for you guys to start and invest in. Appreciate all you've done in the city. Thank you, Todd.
Appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. We'll talk again. Todd Reedborn, president of Walnut Capital, the developer of Bakery Square, and this new project you just heard maybe for the first time on the South Side. Baudacy, it is a tremendous resource. Take us with you. Hear us in crystal clear digital quality. And Aaron Ferragoni, our producer, many of our guests are seen on the radio on our live stream. It's kind of interesting because if you go to kdkradio.com and select our live stream, when you see our guests, it's like you're watching TV on the radio. You know what I mean? The technology is amazing. We talked to the star of this new movie yesterday, 24 hours ago, named Justine Ezerick, who is from Bentworth High School, Washington County. She's become a YouTube influencer, over a billion views, and she does a lot of tech talk, and she's 40 years old now, and she's been doing this a long time. She has how many millions of followers? You looked into it yesterday, Aaron.
On Instagram?
Yeah. I mean, it was millions.
Yes. She has 1.6 million followers.
Wow. And so what she does is looks at new technology, and she's been doing this a long time. They call her a influencer, but she actually shot this movie that was done in Pittsburgh called The Great One, that is basically kids growing up around the time Roberto Clemente hit his 3,000th hit. And then they connect back over a lifetime with the loss of one of their members. And she's the star of the show. But what I was thinking about, she first came here in 2007, and she was living her life for 6 months, 24/7 online, like our streaming, which is what made me think of it yesterday while talking to her. And I was thinking, think of the technology that started with KDK Radio being the world's first radio station with, you know, scheduled programming, the election returns of 1920, and then seeing her on our stream was kind of merging those two technologies together. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Larry, guess how many subscribers she has on YouTube?
How many?
7.1 million.
Good Lord. And by the way, tomorrow night, Three Rivers Film Festival, the Pittsburgh Film Festival, the movie will be shown for the first time in public anywhere in the world. And it was made here in Pittsburgh. The making of the movie's an amazing story, but it's Harris Theater, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Brian and Cody Hartman and Steve Biddle, producers and PMI Films, they did a tremendous job of putting this. It's a family film, by the way. And what I realized is there aren't too many family films that aren't animated movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's a formula that they figured out works, and so they repeat it.
Right.
And that kind of tends to choke the creative process up a little bit.
But even though Justine is her handle on social media, even though she has all these people, she was so excited because her dad was listening to KDKA her on it. And I think that's pretty cool. All right, there's another story that's resonating around the nation, and it's about this 23andMe.
Genetic testing company 23andMe is cutting 40% of its workforce to stay afloat. But many people wonder what could happen to the DNA and health data submitted by customers if the company collapses. The story from CBS's Carter Evans.
Millions have used 23andMe to help answer a simple question.
You always wonder, you know, who does make you who you are?
Just give a saliva sample and get highly sensitive information about your health and genealogy. But now the company's fallen on hard times with big layoffs, losing nearly $6 billion, 98% of its value.
This has been a train wreck situation at 23andMe.
Since 23andMe is not a healthcare company, your DNA data is not protected by health privacy laws. But the company tells CBS News, we have strong customer privacy protections in place, and it does not share customer data without their consent.
Now more and more customers of 23andMe are saying, what happens to my data? If it goes bankrupt, then potentially could people buy the data?
23andMe's DNA database is arguably its biggest asset, but for customers, that information could be their biggest liability. In a data breach last year, hackers stole the DNA profiles of nearly 7 million users.
Do you think people who gave their DNA to 23andMe should be concerned?
I would be concerned. It's like any other form of digital data right now. It's vulnerable.
Worst case scenario, your DNA could be used against you.
You might be denied a promotion if your employer knew that you had some sort of risk factor and they might not feel that you're worth the investment.
This is not social security cards or credit cards. We're talking about genomic data, which is some of the most sensitive that any human could have.
Now, 23andMe tells me that anyone can delete their account at any time, and that is supposed to delete all the data. But by federal law, they have to keep a copy of that data for a period of time. And experts say even without a name attached, it's still traceable. Carter Evans, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Boy, Paul, this is just a mess.
What a nightmare scenario it is to think that your DNA evidence could be used against you in hiring or for medical care or who knows what.
Something you would never have necessarily thought about if you went through this process. And now that this report is out, I doubt a lot of people are going to want to submit stuff now. So they've lost the bulk of their company. I was also impressed by they lost billions. I had no idea it was so lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there was a time when 23andMe was sponsoring the CBS hourly newscasts, if you might remember, on radio.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Brought to you by 23andMe. It was mentioned right up at the front of the newscast.
Now it's just two and me. You and me, Paul. Don't send your DNA here, please. Rasmus and Paul, in our company, it is enrollment time.
Open enrollment.
Open enrollment. That means a lot of things to a lot of people, a lot of choices. And when it comes to health insurance, known as Obamacare, you know, Affordable Health Care Act, some changes are coming. And Chris Mamula from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette wrote all about it and joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
So let's talk about where we are and where we might be, because the headline of your story got a lot of people's attention, that premiums could nearly quadruple by 2026.
Yes, that's correct. And for people with Obamacare, and in Pennsylvania, there's 435,000 people with Obamacare, they could see premiums increase in some parts of Pennsylvania as much, nearly 400%. The average increase for everybody will see increases. The average increase is about 81%, which is stiff enough.
81%?
Yes, average 81% compared to this year. And the reason for that is that there are premium tax credits, and we call them advanced premium tax credits, that will expire, run out in 2025. So there's nothing to worry about for the 2025 plan year, right? Because they'll choose plans between now and December, and then it goes into effect January 1st, and the plan will be okay for 25, but they run out in 25. So 26 is when the premiums, consumers will see the premium spike. Unless Congress acts, you know.
Yeah, and the reading that I've been doing on this says that the Republicans are indeed likely to allow what are called enhanced subsidies to expire. This enhanced subsidy was part of the 2021 American Rescue Plan, and it would have expired at the end of 2025. And the Speaker of the House, Johnson, says they want to look at other options. But what other options are there?
Well, for consumers, you can always drop out, just go without insurance. And the Congressional Budget Office projects that 3.8 million Obamacare enrollees will do exactly that, just can't afford it, drop it. The other option is that you can always go to a different plan, a less, more expensive plan or less coverage. So those are two options.
And Chris, you wrote that the U.S. fell to 8.2% of people without health care, down, and then the first quarter of in 2024, down right. from 14.9% in 2020. Obviously, that's right. good. It means more people had health care, which was the purpose of this. And health care for people should be non-political, but that's far from the facts.
Unfortunately, you're right about that. What happened is President Biden, these advanced premium tax credits, like Obamacare always had premium subsidies baked into them, you know, from the very beginning when the law was enacted in 2010. But in 2021, through there was the Inflation Reduction Act and another law, were enhanced. The subsidies were enhanced. So consumers have been insulated since 2021 in a great way. And it expanded coverage for people on the low end of coverage, or low end of earnings, like 100 to 150% of federal poverty level. They all of a sudden were eligible for zero premium coverage. And also for folks over 400% of the federal poverty level, just earning higher, they were eligible also. Something like 92% of Obamacare enrollees were eligible for subsidies of some kind.
Right. In 2024, in fact, 21.6 million Americans who bought into the ACA marketplace, out of that 21.6 million, 20.1 million received the subsidies.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very high. It's very high. So if they expire, they're scheduled to expire in 2025 at the end of the year. So then it's what are the options? You know, you're going to face much higher premiums unless Congress acts, unless there's some kind of a compromise politically. I don't know. Maybe they would say we can't risk, you know, so many people getting dinged like this. We have to extend the tax credits. But maybe they won't. We don't know.
But again, for 2025, their choice is now they'll be okay, and then we'll wait to see what Congress does moving forward into the new year with the new administration.
I can pass along what Mike Johnson did say at a campaign stop last week. He said the ACA is so deeply ingrained, we need massive reform to make this work, and we've got a lot of ideas on how to do that. But I don't know anything about those ideas.
I don't either, Larry. I've looked and listened and looked for the alternatives and how to tweak it, and I haven't seen those.
Well, millions of people will be watching.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, including a lot of people in Pennsylvania. There's no question about that.
Well, read all about it. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Chris Mamula. Appreciate your time this morning, Chris. Thank you. The state of our housing market and Pittsburgh and around the suburbs. We have an expert on to talk about it. Robin Taylor actually used to be in our business, Paul, television reporter, turned real estate mogul. And she's got her eyes and ears on what's going on in the local markets. Also, tomorrow, if you get a chance, in our 8 o'clock hour, so 24 hours from now at 8:30, we're going to have Myron Cope's daughter, Elizabeth, and Dan Joseph, who wrote the new book just released a few weeks ago called Beyond the Yoy.
And then it's easy to name the sequel, right? Beyond the Double Yoy.
I'm going to steal that line tomorrow. Elizabeth, if you could imagine being the daughter of Myron Cope in this town, right?
Right.
What was that like growing up? You know,
how many times has she answered that question?
I'm sure many. And I worked with Myron for 6 years at WTAE.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what people didn't necessarily know about Myron, because his antics and his sayings and all that became famous. Of course, the Terrible Tao is the biggest outgrowth of his passion for the Steelers. But he was an excellent writer. And to be a good writer, you have to work at it. You have to make phone calls. You have to check sources, old-fashioned journalistic style. And he would do that even for his talk show, because a lot of the sports talk now is hot takes and throwing stuff out there. But when he was doing it, I mean, when he said something, he looked into it.
You know, the Myron Cope of New Orleans was a sports writer first for the Times-Picayune. And here in Pittsburgh, some of my favorite sports talk announcers, including the recently retired Ron Cook and now Joe Starkey, are, guess what, sports writers. They really have something
coming
to
up
say,
this
don't
hour.
They?
Yeah, because we're going to talk to, you know, Christine Sorensen, KDKA-TV anchor woman, obviously Marty Griffin's wife.
If
you've been with us,
and they have
you know that.
Thread,
and she'll be here in the next half hour in studio.
A beginning, a middle, and an end,
and in the meantime,
otherwise,
we're joined by Robin Taylor.
Sometimes they're amusing. Gene
spent many years on television now. Real estate mogul.
So Myron wrote for Coldwell Banker.
Robin, good morning. Welcome back.
In the heyday.
Well, you know, good morning. I love that introduction.
Deal. So tomorrow at 8:30,
I want to talk about Myron the housing Cope, market.
Elizabeth,
a lot of people,
and Dan Joseph,
for a lot of reasons,
together
hold
the
off until
They've
after a presidential election.
Audio,
especially
of Myron.
One that's been so
and it,
decisive.
Man, it just takes you right
and
back.
Divisive.
And
we have the
Ravens coming to town on
now
Sunday.
Now that we know, kind of, okay, this is where it's going.
Myron,
have you noticed a change this early in the local housing market?
Hey, Myron.
And everybody had
absolutely.
A handle.
And what you were talking
How'd
about is
do?
So true. The New York Times did a study, and they found out that the majority of people will hold off on any kind of big purchase during an election year because of the uncertainty. They just don't want to make a big purchase. Well, now that the decision is over, people are starting to shop again, and we have...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
A lot of pent-up demand. So one of the things that I noticed was when the Fed lowered the interest rate, the Fed funds rate, by half a point in September, buyers started shopping again. And just last week, they lowered the interest rate by another quarter point. Now, mortgage rates don't directly correlate with this funds rate. They're tied to Treasury notes, but as we see the Fed lowering rates, we will start to see mortgage rates come down. And that has brought buyers back into the market. And so we're seeing a lot of activity. And something that I want to bring up to buyers is that if you are price sensitive, now is the time to start shopping for a home, because we expect a huge influx of buyers this spring market. And what happens is that there's only so many homes to go around, and you have multiple offers, it becomes much harder to buy a home, and the price of homes go up. So if you're a bargain shopper, now is the time to get started.
Robin, this is Paul Rasmussen. I've got a two-part question for you. Where are rates right now for mortgages, and how long are houses staying on the market? Is it the speed picking up with which people are making offers?
Well, interest rates in the third quarter have been fluctuating between 6 and 6.9%. So I had somebody who was just quoted 6.9% yesterday. Now, that is way down from the high of 8% in October of 2023. So a year ago, they were a lot higher. And we are expecting them to come down. Now, homes are staying on the market a little over 30 days or so, depending upon where you are. So say you're in Swickley, then they're probably going to be on the market a lot longer. If you're in a more of a hot area, 30 to maybe 40 days. And that is between the house going on the market and the closing. So we are still seeing houses sell very quickly, and it is definitely a seller's market. And a seller's market means that there are more buyers than sellers. And so you're going to have homes sell a lot faster than if it was a more even market. So for sellers, this is a good time to start prepping your home and getting it ready to go on the market if you're planning to sell this spring.
We're with Robin Taylor from Coldwell Banker. Robin, you mentioned hot spots. When people are looking for those hot spots, where are they, and what is the mean price range that we're talking about for a single family home?
Well, what's interesting is that Pittsburgh was just named by Zillow as the most affordable city in the country to buy a home. So the typical price in the metro area is $215,000. And that is much lower than the average price across the country, which is up in the fours. So what does affordable mean? It means that less than 30% of your budget is going toward housing. So we have lots of affordable housing here in Pittsburgh, and it's really going to depend. So if you're looking, say, in North Allegheny School District, you're probably going to pay more than $215,000. You're going to be much closer to, say, four.
But if you're looking in the city or some of the neighborhoods closer to the city, you can see some of those lower prices. And Ten Hills has always been known as one of those areas that is really affordable. So I think that that is really good news. And the other thing that I want to mention for homeowners, whether you're selling or not, is that you have, in the last 5 years, gained a lot of equity in your home. So there was just a study done by, or The Economist with the National Association of Realtors, said on average, over the past 5 years, people have earned over $100,000 in equity. That means that the value of your home over the past 5 years has gone up about $100,000. Now, obviously, that's going to depend on the price point of your home. But that is good news for people who are looking at their house being their biggest financial asset.
Robin, you mentioned your advice for sellers, but what about buyers? What are you telling people who are going to get into the market in the spring?
Well, first of all, I would highly recommend they get a pre-approval so they know how much that they can comfortably afford. The other thing is there are a lot of really good programs for first-time home buyers. So I just got a first-time home buyer into a program which is called a 2-1 buy-down, and I'm not going to get into all the technicalities of it, but his interest rate for the first 2 years is 4.9%. So there are some really great programs out there for first-time home buyers, and I really suggest that they talk to a good local lender to find out more about those programs. Now, there are move-up buyers. So you own your home now. It's too small. Your family's outgrown it. You need to move to a bigger home. One of the things that I recommend is if you don't have the funds to be able to put that down payment down and be able to buy the next home and do it, you know, you got to time all of this out, is to take out a home equity line of credit now. So you go to your bank and you get the equity built on your house and you take out that home equity line. But it's not a loan really yet because you haven't borrowed the money. And you'll then have that money that you can use as a down payment. It's basically a bridge on the next home so that you don't have to sell the existing home before you move into the next home. And that way, when you sell your existing home, you can take that big chunk of money that you got and you can put it toward your new mortgage. But it makes it possible in ways that some people can't. Now, when I moved here, and I moved here during the Great Recession, I couldn't buy a house until I sold my house in Philly. And so I stayed in an apartment. And I have people that do this too. It's like, okay, kids, we're going to stay in this apartment with a pool. We're going to sell our house. We're going to have the money. And then we're going to be able to buy the next house. And so that is an option as well.
Great information. Robin Taylor, Coldwell Banker, real estate mogul. Paul and I were talking, at this rate, both of us will be living in a van down by the river, but I'm glad things are starting to turn, especially if you're a seller.
Oh, no, I'm sure you've gained some equity in your home. I'm sure it's been pretty good over the past 5 years. You know,
and the other good news is how much more can someone buy now with the interest rates being 2 points lower?
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Well, definitely. You can buy more, and if interest rates go down to in the fives, what we're hoping is that they're going to go into the fives, because 80% of homeowners have an interest rate at 5% or below. And so that's called, it's this rate lock effect, and we want to break that because they don't want to sell their homes because it would cost so much more for a new mortgage. Well, if interest rates come down somewhere in the fives, then you break that and they're willing to move. So that brings more inventory on the market. And then there's more for buyers to choose from. So that's something that we're hoping for. And of course, the lower the rates are, the lower your monthly payment is, the more house you can buy.
And
so it just makes housing more affordable.
And the other 20% that are above five, if they're in the, you know, bought in the last few years, they can refi and get a better interest rate. Robin, we got a lot to talk about. We need to have you back. Thank you.
I would love to come back.
All right. do that. Aaron will lock you in at
a new
rate.
I like that idea about the $100,000 right, over the last 5 years.
We're going to have balloon payments for you, but that's okay. Thank you. Coming up, we'll check in with Christine Sorensen. Christine doing double duty today, actually triple duty. She'll be on with us as she is on Wednesday's Talk About Kidsburg. She'll be on with her husband, Marty, and then she'll be doing KDK TV News. And then she's hosting the Variety Club annual event tonight, honoring Rich Fitzgerald as their man of the year. So it all kind of fits. And earlier, and I've been getting texts about this, Paul, 23andMe, the genetic testing company, cutting 40% of its workforce, ending its therapeutics program. Its stock continues to plummet. CBS News correspondent Carter Evans says that's raised concern among customers who have provided the company with very sensitive personal data, like your DNA.
Just give a saliva sample and get highly sensitive information about your health and genealogy. But now the company's fallen on hard times with big layoffs, losing nearly $6 billion, 98% of its value. Since 23andMe is not a healthcare company, your DNA data is not protected by health privacy laws. But the company tells CBS News, we have strong customer privacy protections in place, and it does not share customer data without their consent.
So, this is raising a lot of... I don't know how many millions of people have done this, but if it's a billion-dollar company, or was multiple billion-dollar company, how successful was that?
Yeah, but now, how successful can they be with this kind of word out on the street? How willing are you, if you were a prospective customer, to follow up? See?
Right. You know, your DNA is kind of... You know what they have to figure out? With all this... artificial intelligence and technology, social security numbers shouldn't matter anymore. And what I mean by that is I shouldn't have to worry about protecting my social security number.
Oh, there should be silly. Much, much more sophisticated ways to identify right. yourself and at the same time protect yourself.
One example, and there are others where this archaic way, how about your signature anymore? It's so silly. How many times have you gone, first of all, they almost never ask for it anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, it's on a lot of times that electronic pad, and people just take their finger and just scribble.
Yeah, just make
like a few waves.
I just draw a line through it.
Nobody ever questions it.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that a lot of kids in school are no longer learning how to write cursive. So they don't know how to, when you say a signature, people don't think of our generation of just writing, you know, block letters.
Mm, right.
It, you know, there's a flow to it and a signature that they used to say was, unique and could identify only you. That's silly now, too.
Well, I like the idea of the thumbprint. You know, you use your... Back in the day, now they don't do it anymore, but you know, they use facial ID on my Apple phone. But back in the day, you would put your thumb over the button on the screen, and then it would identify you by your fingerprint, and that's how you got into your phone. Now it's basically you got to either enter your code or it reads your face and says, that's Paul. He can come in here. Can you imagine how shocking that is for the phone?
Just my point is... My point is those two things, and there are others, your signature doesn't matter anymore. There's a whole industry out there about signatures, including on ballots and voting and all that. It doesn't make any sense when technologically we have advanced to the point where they could figure out a unique. And if it's your thumb, I worry someone will cut your thumb off and take it with them everywhere. Keep it on a chain.
But how would this work at the polls? At polling places, well, if you've registered to vote, and they have facial recognition technology, when you go to the precinct after you've registered, that your image is now in the database, and you walk in and you stand in front of a small camera, and it says, "Oh, this is so and so," and then they give you a ballot, and away you go.
There you go.
There you go. Now we don't have to argue about voter ID.
Well, the next time we get right. Because that they're still talking about that. Get over it. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward. Going to have technology for the next presidential election where you can just look into a thing and it'll know it's you.
Well, I think you've done a nice job solving all of this, Larry. Thank you.
We got this settled. So silly, the signature thing, though,
right.
and protecting your Social Security number.
But it's a good thing we're getting the word out on the 23andMe problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's down, like I said before, to two and me, you and me. Oh, no, three. Christine's here. And in between 10 until 2, Marty Griffin will check in with Marty in a few minutes. But first, Christine Sorensen, Marty's wife, KDK-TV anchorwoman, is here every Wednesday.
Good morning.
Good morning. Talk about Kidsburg. Right off the top, we could all use a laugh. And I notice that you've got something not just for kids.
Yes. I mean, after a lot of people felt a lot of stress leading up to the election, after the election, I think we could all breathe a little, you know, sigh, take a break, and have a good laugh. So we have a free spectacular circus class. You can learn to be a clown. And it's going to be so much fun. It's from 2 to 3 on Saturday at the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh West End Branch. You're going to learn all kinds of things like juggling, spinning plates. It's going to be fun games. You know, it's great for kids learning confidence, how to mess up, laugh at yourself, try again. I think it's something we could all enjoy and you can do with your kids too.
You know, back in the day I went to when the Ringling Brothers used to come to town, remember the advanced team would come and they would bring the clowns and they would have classes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was this is what this reminds me
yeah,
of.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, it's for adults and kids. I think anyone who needs a little break from reality, it's a great opportunity.
And again, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, that is the West End branch.
Yes, and it's all on our Kidsburgh weekend guide of all kind of fun things to do just this weekend alone.
Speaking of guides, put together a holiday lights guide.
Yes. Okay. So this comes out every year. And traditionally, we think of the lights starting on light up night, which is Saturday, November 23rd. So a week from this Saturday. But because it's such a short season between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, a lot of companies are starting a week earlier. A lot of them are starting their events this Friday and Saturday. So that's why we wanted to get all our guides out. So we have the Holiday Lights Guide, and some of the lights that will be starting this weekend include the Phipps Conservatory and Botanic Gardens. They start this weekend. You know, the closer it gets to Christmas, the busier it gets. So now is a great time to check out those lights among many others. Start making your plans. Put it on your calendar. Hey, let's make sure we check out this one this weekend.
I hadn't been for a while, but when I went, I was really impressed, and it was great crowd. People loved it.
At Phipps, you mean?
A lot of smiles.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, honestly, that is really a jewel in our city. Of course, the lights are incredible there. It's outside, the lights are, but the inside is just as incredible there with the beautiful holiday-themed rooms. Every year they do something different. That is definitely one of my favorites. But there are a lot of other light exhibits around the area, and just check out our guide to see a lot more. And I'll be highlighting those throughout the season too.
And holiday events, part of the guide list for Kidsburg.
Right. So there's all kind of events that, you know, aren't specifically lights focused. And some of those start this weekend, too, including the ice rink downtown, the UPMC rink at PPG Place, which, if you recall, just a couple years ago, they built that brand new tree in the middle with the LED lights that shows all kind of cool images. That alone is spectacular. Even if you don't skate, it's worth going to check it out. But, you know, again, that place can get really busy. Why not go early in the season and enjoy the ice skating? It's such a beautiful place there. And the way the lights reflect on the mirrored buildings is just spectacular. And then this week, and that's up through March 2nd. So that you do have a while, but it does open this Friday. And then on Saturday, I want to mention this because this is such one of my favorite places to shop and support local artisans at the same time. It's called the I Made It Market. This one specifically for the holidays, and it is Saturday at the Block Northway from 10 to 4. And what I love is that, you know, it's not maybe what you think of as a traditional craft fair. These are people making really hip, cool things, maybe recycling things or knitting cool hats and scarves, making wonderful facial products, candles, you name it, clothes, jewelry, really unique, cool stuff, art. And what I love is that you actually get to meet the people who made it. And when you give it to, you know, your family member, your friend, I think there's like a special meaning because you really took the time to find something that no one else will have, and you're supporting a local person who is making it by hand.
Again, that's the block at Northway, 10 to 4 on the 16th.
Yep.
Which is Saturday.
Saturday already.
How about this weekend for sports fans, for families? You've got the Backyard Brawl in basketball with Pitt and West Virginia at the Pete.
That's going to be exciting.
Then you have Pitt-Clemson football at noon on Saturday.
Right, and I was just at the Pitt game last weekend, which was a blast. I love they're getting great crowds.
And then the Steelers-Ravens on Sunday at 1.
Wow, that is a lot.
You know what's at a premium? Our hotel rooms around here, I hear.
Oh, I bet.
Going for some crazy numbers. Now, have you and Marty ever done a Airbnb anywhere? I haven't. I don't know what that experience is like, but more and more people are telling me they can't get hotel rooms. They're doing Airbnbs, and more people around here are making those opportunities real.
Yeah. People I know who have rented through Airbnb always have a great experience.
Yeah. And Erin did, and her husband, she said it was kind of strange because the people were there. But that's,
yeah, that's a little weird. But, you know, hey, if you just want a place to stay, I mean, and you don't have another option,
right,
that could be great.
And also tonight you're emceeing the Variety Club. They do such an extraordinary job with these adaptive bicycles for kids that really light up their lives and in many cases give them a feeling of freedom.
There's so many amazing things Variety does. And I have been chronicling the good work that they do through my kids' work stories and even before. So I've always believed and had a special place in my heart for what they do. Not only the bikes, but recently I did a story on the adaptive strollers, which I didn't really understand what those were for. But basically, a lot of families of kids with disabilities, the kids are grown, they're older, they still need a special stroller, and they don't make strollers for older kids. But some of them, like the family I talked to, their child was a flight risk because he's what's called a runner. And he will just kind of take off without any understanding of safety in the middle of a parking lot, in the middle of a Kennywood, wherever it may be. And they really couldn't go anywhere safely. This stroller opened up their world. All of a sudden, their family could go places because he could be strapped in safely. He could go to school because he can be strapped into the stroller, which then goes on the bus, and that is his seatbelt. So there's so many reasons that you don't even realize. And then, of course, my favorite, probably closest to my heart, is the My Voice program, where kids get adaptive communication devices. It's an iPad with a special program that speaks for them. So they push a button that has either a picture or a word. And if they're not able to communicate or they have any kind of, you know, vocal challenges, this is their only way sometimes to communicate. And when you talk to a family who says they heard for the first time, I love you, through a communication device, it is powerful stuff.
Game changer. Salute to Variety. And Charlie Valley, who recently retired, who spent years passionately doing what he's doing, and tonight recognizing their man of the year, Rich Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Charlie will be there too. I'm excited to see him again. Excited Rich will be there. It's going to be a fun night. They're trying something new with kind of the format. It's going to be a little more casual and fun. It's going to be exciting at
Well,
Acrisure.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks.
And you'll be on with Marty at 1?
No, I'm going to be on today. Now we're back to 10.
Okay.
Yep, so I'll stick around and I'll be here for the next hour.
Well, you'll be here. Marty will be in. We'll see what he's working on today, 10 to 2. Christine, thank you.
Thank you.
Kidsburg.org. Coming up 10 till 2, Marty Griffin. Get Marty and Christine Sorensen starting off the show. What do you guys
know it's the holiday season when Larry breaks out the lumberjack routine. You seeing this?
He wore it for our promo, our holiday promo.
Oh, your holiday promo,
yeah,
did he?
He did. The Children's Hospital fundraiser.
He?
Yep.
I forgot that. Did I had that and you were there? Otherwise, I wouldn't have worn it today. Busted.
Lowe's has natural Christmas trees right now. Why?
Lowe's? Lowe's.
Yeah, yes. Someone was just telling me yesterday that the entire parking lot's full of live Christmas trees.
So aren't they going to die, Larry?
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, we usually get ours the weekend of Thanksgiving, which I know Thanksgiving's late this year, but even a traditional Thanksgiving would still be not for like, you know, another week and a half. And ours is usually so dried up by the end of the holiday, you know, after Christmas. And we get them fresh usually at Simmons, where they're coming literally right from Simmons Farm.
Hey, real quick on the Steelers game. I've never seen that many Steeler fans at a game. That's
crazy.
So I asked, I was actually curious, because they've always had a good fan base in Washington, but they've been so bad
for so long,
they don't have a lot of season ticket holders. And on the secondary market, Steelers fans came in and bought tens of thousands of seats.
Snagged them up.
It's actually fascinating to watch. I mean, it has to be amazing to be there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this, how fun.
With the Ravens here Sunday at a 1 o'clock kickoff, it's going to be pretty amazing. By the way, join Odyssey radio stations. This is fresh from PJ, our boss.
Oh, man. He's in one of those moods.
Pitt Athletics.
Cantankerous.
He's got the big meeting, the monthly meeting. He's got to make stuff up. Pitt Athletics and Saloni's Italian Bread at Market District. Giant Eagle at Settlers Ridge, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 2 to 7. While you're out buying your supplies for maybe your tailgate or turkey day, help us fill the truck from PGT Trucking to support Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank.
We have a party tonight we were ordered to go to.
Yeah.
Ordered.
Hall to Pitt, it's called.
The boss grabbed me in the hall and said, I have to. Now, again, I sound like a curmudgeon because I'm not very social. I have anxiety, social engagement anxiety. It's a new thing.
Is that what it is?
Well, it's partially the election has me depressed. I got anxiety from that.
All right.
And now
you have to come.
I was ordered to.
All right.
6 o'clock. You wearing that lumberjack thing?
No.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.